This is FUV Live Sessions, a podcast brought to you by WFUV in New York City. Each week, we talk to artists in our Bronx studio or at venues around the city, and we listen to them play a live set. You'll get to hear the songs and learn about the artist or band. Episodes drop every Monday wherever you listen to podcasts. Be sure to follow the show to stay up to date on all the latest episodes and to find your next favorite artist, band, album, or song. And if you like what you hear, please make sure that you rate and review the show so other music lovers can find it. This is FUV Live Sessions with Telehel. I'm Megan Suma, and I'm here with host Sam Sumpter at WFUV. Sam, you have been championing this Seattle-based band for a long time now already, and you have actually worked with them one-on-one, haven't you?
Megan, I am obsessed with this band. Every year at South by Southwest, there's one band that I see, fall in love with, and then stalk all around Austin. And I think it was 2 years ago, it was Telehealth. And as is custom, when there's a band I love, I basically assault them, you know, in a positive way after their sets and tell them, you know, if you ever want to come to New York, like, let me know. I would love to help. So I actually booked their last show in New York City last summer on a Brooklyn rooftop. I saw after the fact they like ended up signing to Sub Pop, which as a Seattle band, huge deal. And I was so excited to, you know, full circle have them in the studio. They are such a fun live band. And I love a shtick. Mm-hmm. They are kind of like what I call trust fall punk. They've built up this whole kind of like corporation core universe around their band, and the album Green World Image is fantastic. Just really smart, fun, dancey, cool stuff.
We had the whole band in the studio to play some live songs, and then Alex and Kendra sat down with you to chat, and I just want to piggyback off of that and just echo that it is such an interesting conversation. So please, if you're listening out there, stay tuned after you hear the live music for a very interesting conversation with Kendra and Alex. But first, what is the first song that we're going to hear from this live session, Sam?
I can't wait for you all to fall in love with them as much as I have. The first song from Telehealth is Age of Muralside here on WFUV. We'll be right back. That was Age of Muralside from Seattle's telehealth here for WFUV. I'm Sam Sumter in with Kendra and Alex. A mere 12 hours after we were hanging out at y'all's show last night at Nightclub 101. And we're happy to have you in New York. How does it feel to be here?
It is the best. We love this city. I am a freaky deaky person who likes to be around a lot of people. Like, I'm like one of those people where it like fills my gas tank if I'm surrounded by chaos. So it's nice for me. I'm really enjoying our time.
We have no shortage of chaos here.
Absolutely not.
With which to fuel you.
No, you can smell it in the air. Like right out. It's amazing. Yeah. This is a great city.
You can smell it. You can feel it. You can hear it. Smell is probably actually the operative word. Actually, yeah. Sometimes it's more than you want to.
Only if it's trash day. Yeah. If it's trash day, you can smell it and see it, which we love.
You're getting out of here before summer, though. So
we were here last year in June, and it was stinky. And we were obsessed. It was great. Even the smells here are better than home.
Well, I saw y'all when you were here last year in June, last summer. For some context, saw y'all at South By a couple years ago. Fell in love with y'all. Basically, I think accosted you after your set with something along the lines of, if you ever come to New York, like, let me help, like, let me book you a show.
And we did.
And you did. And we're here and doing the radio thing on top of that.
It's cool.
Yeah, it's cool. It's fun to, it doesn't always happen that way, I feel like, in the industry where you meet somebody and they say like, hey, let me help you out with this. But you do a really great job of it. And it's truly cool. Like, now this is our third time working together, you know, including the radio show. So it's always nice to see a familiar face in a city that's not your own.
Well, I love y'all's band so much.
Thank you.
And it's such a fun live show, which, you know, the people listening are getting to hear, and the people watching the sessions online are, you know, they're seeing as well. I think it's important, though, to note that, like, beyond just a band, telehealth is kind of also an entity of sorts. You know, it's kind of like, I've been thinking of it as like corporate core or like trust fall punk, something along those lines. So for those unfamiliar with the entire project that is telehealth, what is kind of the thesis and the idea behind your band?
I think we really wanted to incorporate like a lifestyle brand, if that makes sense, where it's like the message, we have this really cool opportunity in the 21st century to like immerse fans and people into like a multidimensional experience of what it means to be band. You know, it's like the lyrics, the words, the live performance, the outfits, the like music videos and the merch and all that stuff are all another opportunity to kind of communicate the messaging you're trying to say. So it's like, all right, well, like in case someone like isn't understanding what we're saying here, like maybe our merch can like double down on that and like, you know, building on it. But we like doing multimedia art, and we're really inspired by other artists who do that, and we just saw that as an opportunity. But it kind of took a mind of its own. We just liked making these things, and we're like, all right, well, let's like add to it.
I sort of feel like the online persona presence is something that exists in that space, and it's really exciting for us to be able to like translate it in a lot of different ways. Like, I think the merch is a really great example where, you know, it fits within the theme of the brand as a whole. And it feels really funny to call your, like, art a brand. But I think that's sort of what kind of started this whole thing for us anyways. And to toot Alex's horn a little bit, he does all the design work himself primarily. And it's really cool to be around and watch him sort of, watch his like weird little brain unfold in all of the like all of the parts of this project.
Can be frustrating at times, probably on your
100%.
But to be honest, it originally started as a joke kind of for us, because when we started this project, we were like, how do you like promote yourself in the 20s, like especially after COVID? Like, we're like, what is this, like, does this even matter? Like, I have to like dance and sing on TikTok to promote my band, like this sucks, you know? And so we were like, fine, we're going to treat our online, like, Instagram and TikTok presence as a joke, because it is a joke, you know? Mm-hmm. Like, dude, it's just like, you know, the I love the meme where it's like Kurt Cobain, like, having to, like, sing and dance on TikTok. This would never happen. I'm like, it's just like, this modern culture is so absurd of, like, being in a band is really just having to be, like, a micro-influencer. And it's just our way of, like, coping with it as, like, a coping mechanism of, like, yeah, this sucks, but, like, we're going to just do it and have fun with it. And, like, if we're forced to do these things, we're going to do it in a way that feels fun for us, but also as an opportunity to send messaging as well.
Yeah, because I think the big thing about that is, like, for us, you know, the big joke is, like, we're a for-profit company, mm-hmm. and all we give a care about is money. And I think that's sort of a symptom of the actual, like, system,
yeah.
that it's not like bad or good. It just is how the industry is working these days. And so I think the sort of online persona is a good way for us to poke fun at that. And that's, like, just very truly what it is. It's just pure irony. Like,
yeah.
It is really cool that we have all these tools to help share your art, but then it becomes a lot less cool when you realize it's something that, like, it doesn't feel like a choice always anymore. Mm-hmm. It feels like something you actually have to do. Like, if you actually want to be a musician who makes money, right now it's sort of a little bit feeling like there's one path to do it. And I know that's not necessarily true, but I think for us, that's what this project is. Like, it's us being like, is there one path?
Yeah, we're kind of like live grappling in front of everyone.
Yeah.
Yeah, because, like, y'all have leaned... Like, you're like, if we have to do this, we're going to do it, to the point of, like, we've got this tech summit, yeah. quote unquote, mm-hmm. that we're doing a video, or this band summit. We yeah. are like, telehealth talent search. Yeah. Like, we're recruiting you to invest
yeah.
now.
Yeah.
And the thing is, like, there's so much irony, but mm-hmm. like, a band is at the same time, like, a business as well. Like, yeah. you are trying to sell records.
Yeah. Yeah.
You are trying to have people come to your shows to sell tickets.
So it's like so contradictory, but yeah. And I think that's the world we're living in, where, yeah, we make fun of it, and yet here we are, like, standing on stage begging people to buy yeah. our record. So it
the humor gives us a lot of flexibility, to be honest, of we can do both, mm-hmm. and, like, and we can be mm-hmm. genuine and goofy at the same time, but also we can be like, isn't this stupid that we have to do it? But anyways, we're doing this thing. And, like, I think we are very honest in our, like, complicit nature of, like, being a part of this thing, you know? Like, we're a band just trying to get by, just like very many other bands. And, like, sometimes you make decisions, you're like, oh, this feels really yucky. But, like, with humor, we can kind of, like, be a little bit more critical of, like, things around us, and, you know, but also still benefit from things as well, like, you know, being in the music scene, it's complicated.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yeah. And it's not just, like, I think your marketing either, but, like, the songs themselves. Yeah. And I want to talk about your album Green World Image, your sophomore record.
Yeah.
Can you tell us a little bit about the making of this record, and I guess kind of the same thing, is it just building on that same thesis that you have as a band? It's a phenomenal album, by the way.
Thank
I love
you.
It so much. Like, seeing the songs live, I was...
We're very proud of it.
Yeah.
I think this album was, like, really grappling, I don't know, like, with us. Like, we had moved a couple times while we were living in Seattle at the time. We had just gotten married. I think, honestly, this was, like, the album was really us grappling with the world around us, which is just, like, Seattle was really becoming a place that, like, we couldn't really feel comfortable being in. And we realized while being on tour that a lot of other people were experiencing this in cities around. But really, it's just like a conversation piece, a live, like, very honest live conversation piece about, like, us and the world and what we're seeing every day in the Seattle area that I think we found was, like, a pretty universal message throughout most, like, modern city living. But we just wanted to be very in the present, like, today. We'll talk about today things in future conversations, and we kind of wanted to embody of, like, what it feels like to live modernly, which is, like, live doom scroll, then have to work and then have to go do this thing. And like the overwhelming feeling of like being a modern person, we really wanted to capture that both lyrically and sonically. Mm-hmm. And you know, like we were talking about one time where it's like the feeling of like having to like scroll and see a puppy and then scroll and then see an act of genocide happening.
Yeah.
And then be forced to play music and, you know, promote your album on there is like, it's really sucks. So we just really wanted to offer a musical, you know, like for us, like a cathartic way of being like, man, this really sucks. But instead of, you know, just pointing a finger and saying this sucks, we kind of turn it around and we're like, we suck. And so does everything else that sucks around us. Yeah. But like, it is also okay to have fun and make fun of ourselves and like not take ourselves too seriously. Mm-hmm. And like provide some dancing and joy along the way. And not really provide a critical lens, but more of a like introspective of like, wow, isn't this all this kind of wild? And like how absurd the nature of like that we live in right now is truly like one of a kind. Like I think Andy Warhol would have like loved this world, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. I feel like the album came out of like a, you know, like a couple lost friendships and a couple lost, you know, like we like I was saying, we moved a few times and our lives changed a lot in like 2 years. And that's all, most of these songs were written during that period of time. And it was really helpful to process through some of that stuff, and both for better and for worse. And I think that, you know, I grew up in the Seattle area and I've lived in Seattle proper for 18 years now, which is like effectively half my life. Mm-hmm. And I think there's a lot in the record that is like giving a lot of love and care to the place that we live. But I also think there is a ton. I think we've just been feeling kind of critical of that as well, and trying to, I think the record really helped us kind of reckon with that and like maybe just be okay with it. Like the city's changed. That's just what happens. And
I think we just want to have a conversation about it and be like, guys, let's talk about this. This is wild. Like no one's talking about these things, but everyone says it in the shadows, you know, and it's like, well, let's just bring it in the open and see what happens.
And actually, I even think like to take that catharsis like one step farther, which I wasn't really anticipating, but it has kind of been what we've been talking about in most of these sort of press release interviews and whatnot. We have been talking about it a lot, and it has been so helpful to like kind of like
it's
talk
like
about it with everybody around us. Been, you know, the question's like, oh, what's it like in Seattle? And we're like, well, shoot, it's hard for me to tell right now. And I want to find like space to bring back a bigger community feeling back to Seattle. And it's been a while since it's really felt like that. And we're kind of, I'm sensing a shift in the city right now. So it's, I'm really grateful for it. And I'm grateful to have these conversations. Like truly, it's been very, very nice for us.
Yeah. We'll just talk about the relatability of this. Like, I think tech and enterprise like upending a city in so many ways. Like you've got Amazon, I think being the primary one in Seattle, as well as like Boeing, right? And Microsoft.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Like I lived in Austin for 9 years. You know, the tech came in there, totally transformed the city.
Yeah.
Here in Brooklyn, one of my favorite music venues, Our Wicked Lady, where y'all played last summer.
R.I.P.
Yeah, exactly. It closed. Yeah. And then I was walking down Morgan and there's like a corporate office, like a giant tech conglomerate just opened an office across the street. And I'm like, obviously those things can't coincide. So art gets moved around, art gets pushed. But I think, you know, I feel like I always reference Jurassic Park, like art finds a way.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And I think by commenting on this, starting this conversation, it's kind of like being able to like then profit in a sense from these things that are happening.
Oh, yeah.
100%. I think that is exactly like how we feel in it. So it is, it's interesting to be on this stretch of tour and kind of be going through like Mid-Atlantic and the Rust Belt and seeing how different all these cities are that haven't been affected by this big tech boom.
Pittsburgh is
doing just fine.
Thriving.
Yeah. Thriving. And it's really cool to see. And then at the same time, it like hurts my heart because I kind of can hearken back and remember
what it was like.
Like, in Seattle, like where the Amazon campus is, what it felt like before and how the communities felt different and more connected. And it wasn't just literally about the rat race, like the grind. I mean, I think that's really what a lot of this record is about. It's about the grind, and it's about how ridiculous it is in every facet of our lives. We're grinding. We're grinding at the friggin' grocery store, you know?
Stay grinding.
Yeah,
keep making money. Just keep making money. And it's killing culture. Yeah.
The hustle culture there for sure. And then your next song, like, I think this kind of filters into it because I think as a millennial, there was like this period where it's like, oh, your job is your identity, especially. And it's like these gender and what we're just play next, what you're going to hear next, cool jobs, where it's like the culture, like, oh, your job is your personality. Like, here's a beanbag chair and some ping pong paddles and a keg, bro.
Stay
working till 11 p.m.
And we've got free cereal.
I worked in, I mean, we can talk about it maybe after the song.
You worked in that place.
I worked in that place.
That's what the song's about.
Ooh, do you want to intro Cool Job for us then?
This is Cool Job by the band Telehealth.
Yeah, so, I mean, can you tell us a little bit about this place that you worked and how this informed
I mean, this song is, like, directly is, like, I quit the job that I had at the time, which is, like, it's a designer job that is, like, we made art for these buildings in Seattle. Like, one of my jobs is, like, a 52-floor Amazon building in Bellevue, which is just like right next to, you know, it's like the Bronx versus like Brooklyn in terms of like familiarity. I had to design all of the art in that building and it was insane. Like the levels and the amount, I did all the wallpapers, all these things, and it was truly crazy. But we were, so I'm working on that. And then we're also working on this album. And, but we're working in this environment, you know, where they're like, okay, like, you're going to work 60 hours this week and it's really fun. And sorry, we're only paying you like minimum wage, but we're also really cool. Like, here's free cereal and like, here's these things. And like, we like skateboard in the afternoon and stuff. And it was a cool job. It was a cool job. Like, as a designer and as a musician, you're like, this is what I want to do. And then, you know, after about 2 years, you're like, wait, I am being screwed over here. Like, this is not good. And I was like, my body started to fall apart, and like I was like, you know, I have like an autoimmune disease that I didn't know, but it flared up for the first time during this job, and I was like, oh wow, like I am not in good shape. Like, this is, I'm actually falling apart.
You were miserable. And as someone who lived with you during this time, it was really, really rough.
So a lot of what this album is really about is like my experience, my body experience, my physical and mental experience of like going through that, and then the release of quitting that job. And the day that I quit that job was, I came home and I had like, I was listening to Paul McCartney's Temporary Secretary. And he's talking about how he needs like a temporary secretary to make his life better. But it, you know, it's not, he's just goofing around. And I was like, oh yeah, so I went home and was just goofing around. And was like, cool job. I need a cool job. And as a joke, cause I'm like, man, I just spent 2 years of my life doing this thing that sucked. We did it. We wrote it so fast. Yeah. It was like one of those things where it's like, boom, boom.
Yeah.
2 minutes, done. And we didn't really ever think it would be a single. But it is kind of like this weird thesis for the whole album.
Yeah.
That, yeah, we are asking you, like, quit, stop doing this rat race thing. Like, it is destroying not only our cities and our culture, but like...
Truly us.
Yeah. It was like, it was really hard on us. As bodies, yeah. Yeah, and you were going through a similar thing with like your job.
Yeah, I quit 3 jobs over the course of
Listen, we like do commit to things. Sub Pop Records, we're not quitting, yeah, okay? Yeah, yeah.
I quit 3 jobs over the course of 3 years, and... that was like the first time I'd ever done anything like that. I'm a pretty like long-term employee if I'm an employee. Mm-hmm. And I think it was super duper empowering. And I remember I had kind of been in that cycle and Alex was stuck at this place. And I just kept telling him, I was like, you have to quit. Like you just, the thing is we will always figure it out. And I think it took a little bit of like dismantling like money brain and.
Yeah, you get stuck in the cycle of like, okay.
Like dismantling the system and saying, we are going to be fine. Like, you always find a way. Art finds a way. We find a way. And then here we are. It gave us so much time to work on the record. And we both kind of worked odd jobs for a little while.
Still do.
Yeah, and still do. And, we're both in the service industry back in Seattle. And that offers us a lot of flexibility to... sort of put all our eggs in one last basket for one last hurrah and see what happens. So yeah, it's cool job is definitely, I actually kind of find cool job to be the anthem of this record for me.
Well, what I love about the songs of the record, and like, it's honestly so impressive how many you crammed in. It's just the references to like cultural points. It's like a laundry list of like topical references, proper nouns. I think there's like avocado toast and oat milk, girl boss, tech bro, Glossier, Medicaid.
Oh, yeah.
There's Carhartt, Dicky Clan, Sprinter Van to Burning Van. Yeah. There's like all these vibes. So it's like very rooted, I think, in like this era. And I can just like, from a cultural anthropology perspective, I'm just imagining like what this says about online and IRL culture and like all of this wrapped up in the album. But it also seems like it was so much fun to write. And can you tell me a little bit about like the process of writing these songs and like lyrically specifically?
Super, super fun to write.
if we're not chuckling a little bit, I don't think we're like, this isn't right.
The writing process for us is, typically Alex does the majority of the sort of like song building, demoing out parts. And then at that point, he'll usually, pass me a demo and say, do you like this? Do you hate this? What do you think about it? And a handful of tracks on this record are like solely written by him. And a few I would consider to be like maybe co-written, especially like lyrically. And this was one that, we just were kind of goofing off thinking about this horrible job that he had. And there's just a lot of moments on the record where we would sit down and be like, dang, what should the lyrics be for this? Like, what are the lyrics? And for us, the lyrics come last. Every melody's there. Everything's there. It's just like, what are the words that you're going to spit out? And so we'd just write lists. And we'd just write lists of words. Mm-hmm. And specifically like in Things I Killed, that is, it's literally just a list.
Yeah.
Like, it's straight from an iPhone.
Yeah.
Notes app
to microphone to studio. Yeah. Like, it's, and it is fun. And they are intentional, too. That's the thing. Like, a lot of these words have, maybe more of a meaning to us than they do just on the page or in the song. But ultimately, I think from a anthropology point of view, it is, like, in 20 years, are people going to be like, what was Glossier? who's Tim Gunn?
Yeah. And you better respect Tim Gunn.
Yeah. What does mother is mothering mean? Like,
we're embarrassing.
Yes,
millennials are embarrassed. Like, I'm embarrassed by, like, us all. We're very cringy, and I think we should just accept that.
Yeah, it is a documentation, I think, of kind of these, like, catchphrases, and I think that speaks to this, like, scroll world that we're living in, where it's like everything has to be short, quick. You have to, like, code words and keywords, and everything has to, because if you take the time to say a full sentence, you've lost them already.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it's funny, like, when you look at, like, every year or whatever, it's like Merriam-Webster does, like, oh, this is the word of the year, and it's, like, something that's basically been, like,
FOMO
invented. Or, yeah. Like, the fact that, like, FOMO became, like, short, I mean, just that's part of the zeitgeist, like, now. And like, it started with Drake, right? That's like,
yeah.
Like, was that the original?
I think so.
That's the thing, is like, we live in the world
it's
in
YOLO,
which.
Actually, I'm oh, thinking yeah.
Of, yeah. Same.
But same.
But it's like the world that we live in, like in the flesh, talking to human, is different than the world online, but we speak about the online world together, but mm-hmm. they're not caught up on the same timeline. It's very bizarre. Mm. So we just like wanted to talk about like chronically online topics, but like even now we're talking about stuff that was like Biden era conversations. We released an album, now it's in Trump era, and it's like already dated, you know. It's mm-hmm. it's kind of wild to even see a song that we wrote a year and a half, 2 years ago, like already feels like our perspective on things has already changed about those things, but it is how we felt at that time, and just trying to be honest about that.
And art by nature, right? It is like you can't separate it from 100%. The setting, and you know, maybe it'll be we can all hope that like in a few decades, maybe we'll look back and be like, whoa, that hustle culture was wild. What were they doing?
I hope that one.
I hope that
well.
Is true. Yeah. We gotta stop. Just slow down.
Slow down, man.
Turn your phone off. Yeah. Let your phone die. You can go out without your phone.
Yeah.
But before you do that, buy some records.
But for sure. Actually, can you hop on our Bandcamp? And it's Bandcamp Friday, and we just got a new TikTok. Yeah, we have a new video.
Invest in telehealth now.
Yeah.
Green World Image, out in the world. What's the last song you're going to play for us today?
The last song we're going to play for you is Kokomo 2.
Kokomo 2 from telehealth. Alex, Kendra, thank you so much for being here.
Thank you.
See you in another 12 hours?
Yep, another 12.
All right. Clean clones. Dust bowl. Eco-friendly. Thank you. That was Telehealth, performing and in conversation at WFUV in New York City. A big thank you to Kendra and Alex for joining us in our studio and to Sub Pop Records. Our FUV live studio sessions are engineered by Jim O'Hara. Our associate producers for this episode were Diana Juarez and Heather Jones. Megan Suma is our executive producer. Our theme music was composed by John Crick. Be sure to follow FUV live sessions wherever you get your podcasts, so you can listen to new episodes and find your next favorite artist or band. Episodes drop every Monday. Please rate and review the show if you like what you hear, so other music lovers can find it. You can also catch audio and video of FUV Live Sessions on WFUV.org. FUV Live Sessions is a production of WFUV in New York City. I'm your host, Sam Sumter.